Hello, this is Atta Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 7th, 2025, coming to you from my home studio. We start on the front page. A natural spot to meet and learn. Rock Springs Nature Center adds Hidden Hollow education space. And this article today is by Donette Beckett, Decatur. Hidden Hollow isn't hidden anymore. The eye-catching area is the name of the Macon County Conservation District's new education area on the lower level of Rock Springs Nature Center on Nearing Lane in Decatur. It's the connection with the outdoors, said Jerry Culp, executive director for Macon County Conservation District. There's a lot you can do outside that you can do inside too. This does that for the general public. According to Culp, the area was designed to accommodate a smaller series of groups and classrooms, but also open it up to larger areas where you can have larger events, he said. Decatur resident Mark Jones and his wife Susanna Caldorn found the inviting area while attending a recent Prairie Petal event. And it's really neat, he said. It has really comfortable looking seats, and I'm really excited about getting back, having a meal, and enjoying it. The couple often ride their bikes through the Rock Springs trails. I was just thinking this is a good place to come, take a break on a bike ride, Jones said. One of the more interesting attractions, Jones pointed out, was the metal musical sculptures. It's meant for kids to explore, said Ashton Dukeman, Conservation District Marketing Specialist. Education is the focus with its primary purpose as a classroom, the administration said. Although this can be rented out, our top priority goes to schools for field trips. It goes for summer camps, our public education, and our public program, Dukeman said. The patio is open to the public as long as it's not closed. Grants helped make the project successful. The Illinois Department of Natural Resources provided a Park and Recreational Facility Construction Act, or the PARC, grant. The spaces are available for birthday parties, receptions, reunions, and corporate events for a small fee. But people on the trail are curious, Dukeman said, about the uninvited visitors. We are not an event venue, we are a nature center. The center has various conference rooms with names such as Monarch Room, the Cicada Room, and the Redbud Room, as well as the Acorn Kitchen and outdoor Hidden Hollow area. Each holds various numbers of people. Inside, with the sliding doors open, can seat 110 people. The outside area can fit approximately 100 people. Hidden Hollow was the ideal for the Prairie Petal cyclists when tables for registration, a grill for organizers to cook the meal, and picnic areas for resting and eating. It's very friendly, Caldrone said about the open area's atmosphere. In the past, the groups of dozens of riders would meet at the smaller pavilion located on the north side of Rock Springs. It's not nearly as comfortable and doesn't have as many seats as this has, Jones said. Aesthetically, this is really nice compared to that because it's just picnic tables. The basement originally housed a few of the administrative offices, including one for Dukeman. Every time we needed something, we had to keep running up and down the stairs, she said. Now it's great to find my coworkers when I need them. Classrooms and storage were also part of the lower level, much of which still remains. Now the area has a caterer's kitchen with a large counter and a centered electric stove. You can't cook in here, but you can warm stuff up, Dukeman said. Cooking can be done, however, on the outdoor grill. Other sources of heat in the patio include a fire pit and a fireplace. Plans for the education area began in 2021, according to the administration. The original architectural renderings are still on display. Special features of the patio were made by local businesses, including the wood slats aligned for extra seating. The thresholds separating the inside from the outside were milled by one of the conservation district staff, since the district owns a sawmill. A lot of the trees that we take down that are invasive, that don't really need to be here, we still repurpose those, Dukeman said. That's a neat way to show that real conservation spirit, to repurpose things. The furniture made from recycled bottles was purchased from Bear Creek in Arthur. Decatur's Iron Bowl Fabrications made the metal tree draping over the outside entrance, as well as the metal frame holding the informational sign. Children can stop along the concrete tree steps trailing past the metal musical sculptures. Platforms have been installed ready for sculptures from local artists. According to Dukeman, finding appropriate art and the artists has been one of the biggest challenges. We know a lot of artists, but they make things that maybe should be kept indoors, she said about the struggles. It's going to potentially stay out for a while. Above the patio on the main floor area, a few other changes were made as well. For example, the library was moved closer to the administration offices. The Echoes Center added a few details, including photos and signage. However, the display with the iconic giant tree situated in the middle of the room remained the same. A conference room is part of future plans. But it's a cool view, Culp said about the outdoor images from the second floor windows. And several medium-sized color photos here. This looks just beautiful. And kind of, as we're reading the story, thinking about the images, well, here are the images that I'll describe. Patrons take advantage of some of Hidden Hollow's outdoor features during a recent Prairie Petal event. So in the foreground is a dark brown Adirondack chair, facing out toward the lower left of the photo. To the left of the chair, to the right of the photo, is a very large, beautiful, looks like soapstone counter that is curved in kind of an S and goes off to about the middle of the photo itself, topped by a gray piece of granite. And embedded in that appears to be a gas grill and perhaps another cooking implement. And off to the left of that is a table set up with a chef preparing food and people milling about. And the beautiful facade of the building in cedar shake that is brand new, so it hasn't weathered yet. Another view, this time from further back, fitting more into the frame. A mix of chairs, tables, a grill, fire pit, and fireplace adorn the patio Hidden Hollow. And it is beautiful. And a musical sculpture is one of several outdoor features at Hidden Hollow at Rock Springs Nature Center. Let's zoom in here and see if we can get a better description of what that is. Hard to tell. It almost looks like a keyboard or a xylophone, and it's in a very peaceful kind of landscaped area with some flagstones and stepping stones around it. And finally, the large color photo that starts off the article. Hidden Hollow, the new education area at Rock Springs Nature Center, provides indoor and outdoor space for Macon County Conservation District activities, as well as a place for area groups to host events. And there's a beautiful wooden slat walkway pathway that's elevated. It defines a mulched area with a picnic table, and off to the left, many Adirondack chairs facing out on a stamped flagstone concrete area. Next to that, on the far left of the photo, is a beautiful winding concrete path leading up to the front of the building itself. And in the background, the folks I mentioned in the first photo cooking at the cooking area. It just looks like a beautifully done space. Looks like they did a great job. Photo credit for all of these to Donnett Beckett, Herald and Review. Hidden Hollow availability as a sidebar. Information regarding availability and rental fees can be found at the guest area on the main floor by calling 217-423-7708 and hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Well, if you do, contact Donnett Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. Military intervention. State moves to block troops. Lawsuit. Trump plan unlawful and dangerous. Christine Fernando, Associated Press, Chicago. Illinois and Chicago filed a lawsuit Monday aiming to stop President Donald Trump's administration from sending hundreds of National Guard troops to the city just as troops prepared to deploy and hours after a federal judge blocked troops from being sent to Portland, Oregon. The quickly unfolding developments come as the administration portrays the Democrat-led cities as war-ravaged and lawless amid Trump's crackdown on illegal immigration. Officials in both cities have disputed the president's characterizations, saying military intervention isn't needed and it's federal involvement that's inflaming the situation. The legal challenge comes after Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker said some 300 of the state's Guard troops were to be federalized and deployed to the nation's third largest city, along with 400 others from Texas. The lawsuit alleges that these advances in President Trump's long-declared war on Chicago and Illinois are unlawful and dangerous. The American people, regardless of where they reside, should not live under the threat of occupation by the United States military, particularly not simply because their city or state leadership has fallen out of a president's favor, the lawsuit says. Pritzker said the potential deployment amounted to Trump's invasion and called on Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott to block it. Abbott pushed back and said the crackdown was needed to protect federal workers who were in the city as part of the president's increased immigration enforcement. White House spokesperson Abigail Jackson confirmed in a weekend statement that Trump authorized using Illinois National Guard members, citing that she called ongoing violence, riots, and lawlessness that local leaders have not quelled. In Chicago, the sight of armed Border Patrol agents making arrests near famous landmarks amplified concerns from residents already uneasy after an immigration crackdown that began last month. Agents have targeted immigrant-heavy and largely Latino areas. Protesters have frequently rallied near an immigration facility outside the city, and federal officials reported that arrests of 13 protesters on Friday near the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Processing Facility in Broadview. The Department of Homeland Security acknowledged that federal agents shot a woman Saturday morning on the southwest side of Chicago. A department statement said it happened after Border Patrol agents patrolling the area were rammed by vehicles and boxed in by 10 cars. No law enforcement officers were seriously injured, DHS spokesperson Tricia McLaughlin said. In Portland, U.S. District Judge Karen Emergut granted a temporary restraining order sought by Oregon and California to block the deployment of Guard troops from those states to the city. There has been a sustained and low-level protest outside the Portland ICE facility, but it's been less disruptive than the downtown clashes of 2020 when demonstrations erupted after George Floyd's killing. Emergut, a first-term Trump appointee, seemed incredulous that the president moved to send National Guard troops to Oregon from neighboring California and then from Texas on Sunday. "Aren't defendants simply circumventing my order?" she said. "Why is this appropriate?" Local officials have suggested that many of the president's claims and social media posts about Portland appear to rely on images from 2020. Under a new mayor, the city has reduced crime, and downtown has seen fewer homeless encampments and increased foot traffic. Most violent crime around the U.S. has actually declined in recent years, including in Portland, where a recent report from the Major Cities Chiefs Association found that homicides from January through June decreased by 51% this year compared to the same period in 2024. Since the start of his second term, Trump has sent or talked about sending troops to 10 cities, including Baltimore, Memphis, Tennessee, the District of Columbia, New Orleans, and the California cities of Oakland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. A federal judge in September said the administration willfully broke federal law by deploying Guard troops to Los Angeles over protests about immigration raids. Moving on to the local and state page here, A3. Let's skip back there. Police, dog at ease. in burglary. Tony Reed, Decatur, has this article. Like the plot of a Sherlock Holmes detective story, police helped solve a Decatur burglary based on the curious incident of the dog that did nothing in the nighttime. The dog belongs to the 47-year-old female resident of a second-floor apartment in the 1300 block of North Gulick Avenue that was broken into on the night of September 24th. A sworn affidavit filed by the Decatur Police Department said the curious incident with the dog is that it was seen on surveillance camera footage, having no reaction as the burglar made his entrance through a window. The owner's dog was observed in the camera watching the suspect enter the window and appears calm as if she knew the person entering the house, said Officer Carl McComb, who signed the affidavit, which was a crucial clue. McComb said further investigation showed the 38-year-old male identified as the burglar and arrested October 1st is well acquainted with both the dog and her owner, and had stayed over at the apartment the night preceding the crime. The suspect had texted the woman before the burglary and said he wanted to come over and pick up a backpack and some food he had left behind. McComb said the woman told him she would not be home, but the man had arrived anyway and broken into her residence, and he not only reclaimed his own stuff, but allegedly helped himself to $500 cash and a battery-powered drill that belonged to the woman. Macon County Circuit Court records show the man is free on pretrial release after being arraigned on charges of residential burglary and theft. Richland EEOC case heads to DOJ. Valerie Wells, Decatur. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has determined that efforts to reconcile a case of discrimination between former Richland Community College employee Jennifer Reichert and the college have been unsuccessful. The EEOC found in favor of Reichert in the complaint she filed against Richland, in which she charged that the college and President Cristobal Valdez discriminated against her on the basis of her sex and in retaliation for her opposition to that alleged discrimination. Her employment with the college was terminated on January 19, 2023. She had begun work on September 26, 2022. The charge was made under the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The EEOC has sent written notice to both parties that the commission has determined that further conciliation efforts would be futile or nonproductive. No further efforts to conciliate this case will be made and has forwarded the case to the Department of Justice for litigation review. A decision from the Department of Justice should be announced in the near future. Richland has not responded to Herald and Review requests for comment. And public safety, drugs discovered after three shot. Decatur, three Decatur residents were injured in a shooting Sunday afternoon in Decatur. According to the Decatur Police Department, the incident occurred at approximately 1:15 p.m. Sunday in the 300 block of West Sawyer Street. None of the victims, ranging in age from 31 to 37 years old, were severely injured. One injury included a vertical wound to the right shin. Another victim received a wound to the back of the right leg. The third victim was injured on the bottom of the right foot. A lot of people heard gunshots in the area, said Sergeant Steve Carroll. However, no witnesses reported seeing the shootings. No arrests have been made, Carroll said. While investigating the incident, police reached an abandoned nearby house that had been damaged by gunfire. Inside the house, police found drugs, drug paraphernalia, shell casings, and firearms. Officers seek gunman after man shot four times. Decatur, police are searching for a gunman and seeking witnesses after a Decatur man was shot four times in a dispute outside a bar on the city's west side. The violence broke out around 11:20 p.m. Friday in a parking lot next to the winery in the 1000 block of West Main Street. The 22-year-old male victim had gotten into a verbal altercation with a group of subjects in the parking lot, and then the victim started getting shot at, said Sergeant Adam Seifman with the Decatur Police Department. He was hit four times and taken to the hospital, where medical staff said the injuries appeared to be non-life-threatening. Speaking Sunday, Seifman said there had been no arrests in the case as the hunt for the gunman continued. He said police wanted to speak to anyone who saw the incident or had information. Call the police department on at 217-424-2734 or contact Crime Stoppers at 217-423-8477. The winery did not immediately respond to a request seeking comment Sunday afternoon. Burn ban renewed in Macon County, Decatur, due to continued dry conditions and elevated risks of fire. All jurisdictions in Macon County have reinstated burn bans until further notice. This includes all residential and agricultural burning, yard waste, brush, leaves, and other combustible materials. The Macon County Emergency Management Agency said in a news release issued Monday. Anyone who conducts an unauthorized burn may be billed for fire protection services as authorized under Illinois statutes. The bans were reinstituted due to numerous field fires over the weekend and the continued drought conditions and will remain in effect until weather conditions improve and fire danger is significantly reduced. Farmers are urged to take precautions during harvest, such as assign a fire watch during equipment use, keep fire extinguishers and disking equipment nearby, call 911 immediately if a fire starts. Residential safe alternatives to burning include mulch or compost yard waste, use local waste collection or disposal services, and store debris safely until the burn suspension is lifted. On the local page, and actually right above the Hidden Hollow photos part of the article, is hundreds of hikers are trapped on Mount Everest. So this is more a world, but it seems like this is where it fit. Associated Press, Beijing. Rescuers were helping hundreds of hikers trapped by heavy snow at tourist campsites on a slope of Mount Everest in Tibet, Chinese state media said. About 350 hikers had reached a meeting point in Tingri country, and rescuers were in contact with another 200, state broadcaster CCTV said late Sunday. There was no immediate update on the rescue efforts on Monday. The hikers were trapped at an elevation of more than 16,000 feet. According to an earlier report from Jimu News, a Chinese online site, Mount Everest is about 29,000 feet tall. A hiker who rushed to descend before snow blocked the way told Jimu News that others still on the mountain had told him the snow was 3 feet deep and had crushed tents. Hundreds of rescuers headed up the mountain Sunday to clear paths so that trapped people could come down, the Jimu report said. A video shot by a villager shows a long line of people with horses and oxen moving up a winding path in the snow. The snowstorm struck during a week-long national holiday in China when many travel at home and abroad. In another mountainous region in western China, one hiker died of hypothermia and altitude sickness, and 137 others were evacuated in the north part of Qinghai province, CCTV said Monday. The search in an area in Manyuan County with an average altitude of more than 13,100 feet was complicated by the terrain, unpredictable weather, and continuous snowfall, a CCTV online report said. Mount Everest, known as Mount Komolangma in Chinese, straddles the border between China and Nepal, where recent heavy rains have left more than 40 people dead. Climbers attempt to scale the world's tallest peak from base camps in both countries. The base camp for climbers is separate from the tourist camp where hikers were trapped by the snowfall. A strong earthquake killed at least 126 people in the same area in January. The Chinese side of Everest is in Tibet, a remote western region where the government has cracked down harshly on descent and poured in funds for economic development, including roads and tourism. The Dalai Lama, the spiritual leader of Tibetan Buddhism, fled during a failed uprising in 1959 and lives in India, where some Tibetans have set up government in exile. And there is a very large color photo here, a little blurry, but in this photo taken October 4th, 2025 and released by Lingxie villagers with their oxen and horses ascend the mountain during rescue efforts to reach hundreds of hikers trapped by heavy snow at tourist campsites on a slope of Mount Everest in Tibet on October 5th. And in the foreground, there are three horses positioned, most of their bodies on the right, equipped with saddles and harnesses, facing the left, and they're in the lower third to half of the photo. You can tell the snow is falling because there's snow everywhere covering most of the photos, but then a snaking line up the mountain up to the top third quarter of the center of the photo. It's a very stark, kind of frightening, surreal look. Lingxie photo credit. We're close enough to the end of the first half hour. I don't know that we have time for much else, so I'm going to try and squeeze in here the Decatur 4-day forecast on the weather page B8 today. A very welcome report. A morning thunderstorm. High of 69. Wind north 7 to 14 miles per hour. Tonight, clear and cooler. A low of 45. Wow. When was the last time we said that? Wind north-northeast 6 to 12 miles per hour. Wednesday, sunny and pleasant. Wind northeast 7 to 14 miles per hour. And a high of 72 and a low of 40. Wonderful. Thursday, sunny and comfortable. High of 69, low of 40. Wind east 6 to 12 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny and nice. High of 72, low of 46. Wind southeast 4 to 8 miles per hour. And the regional outlook, a thunderstorm during the morning, cooler today. Expect less than 2 hours of sunshine with a 55% chance of precipitation and average relative humidity 80%. Drying conditions poor, cooler tonight. And the Skywatch, sunrise 6:58 a.m., set 6:28 p.m. Days are definitely getting shorter. Moonrise 6:36 p.m., set 7:30 a.m. Last quarter moon, October 13th, new moon, October 21st, first quarter moon, October 29th, and the full moon on November 5th. All right, well, I think that does wrap us up for the first half hour of today's Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, October 7th, 2025. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.